Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're just so blessed today to have these beautiful ladies and a gentleman in our studio today. Mm-hmm. We have Tanya and Janelle and Beth and her son Colin. Mm-hmm. And Miss Tara and myself, Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
Yay! last time it went so fast, as usual, and we were talking about, we ended with the examination of character of Christ, and you know, he was teaching his disciples that we are a family unit. Mm-hmm. He is our teacher, our master, our Lord, and also our Father in heaven.
Jesus is emphasizing the family unit. Mm-hmm. And the key that we're needing to understand, and Janelle brought it up, and she goes, well, you know, in this passage it says master has the servant under it, because we had broken it down. And the key we want to get is that he is trying to prepare them that our family is the body of Christ. The Father is our Father, and Jesus is the teacher. He's the master. He's the Lord. We are student. We are servant. We are disciples. We are pupils. We are slaves. We are his underneath, and he is trying to get his disciples to get this solidified. What happens in our world, in our Christian world, is that in some of our lives, we come to know Christ, and that's it. That's my story. I had people tell me, you know, here's Jesus, you need to know him. I was broken, I came to know him, but then I was never taught who Jesus is. I was never taught his character. I was never taught his word. And so I struggled in my faith. Remember, we gave the challenge last time. What if you were on a reality TV show and they asked, are you really a Christian? And I really struggled. You would not have known, as I was trying to grow in my life as a young person, that I was a Christian, because nobody taught me who Jesus was and who the word was. So I had no basis for this. Because of what the disciples are about to face, if they don't have these solidified, they're not going to be able to face the costs that are going to be required of them. And I know when I am interacting with people through ministry, whether in speaking engagements on campus or just because of ministry in the community, every single time somebody comes to me with something, it always comes down to, they don't have belief in a character trait or a biblical truth rightly divided. Okay, does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Like, there is an improper thinking. And Janelle and I yesterday had the awesome privilege of being in chapel with Dan Haughey. He is a pastor here locally, but he's also a professor at Grace University. And in his message yesterday, he said one word, and I thought, oh, this is so awesome. He said, there's theology proper. Excuse me. There is a theology proper. And I thought, well, if there is a theology proper, there is a theology improper. And he actually spoke into what I am dealing with every single moment of every single day. Because when somebody comes in and if they're dealing with relationship issues, do they really trust that God is creator of all relationships? Mm-hmm. If somebody comes in and they have an eating disorder, do they really trust that God created food for us to eat? Mm-hmm. When somebody comes in and they have an addiction to something, what are they trusting? They're putting their trust in whatever they're addicted to, and we can be addicted to a thousand things instead of having it be God. In every single circumstance, it's because they do not have what they need to know and believe about God solidified in their heart. They have an improper theology. It always comes down to that. And I believe without a doubt this is the reason why Jesus wanted to make these relationships clear, because when it did come that the Son rejected you because you became a believer, are you going to be able to stand knowing that you are the Son of the Father? If you do not truly understand this relationship that you have with the Father, you're not going to withstand the rejection of the Son. And I have somebody in my life that's dealing with that right now. The Son has rejected the Father. The Father came to know Christ in February. And the Son wants nothing to do with his dad. He wants his dad to go back and be what he was, an alcoholic, and in the same place he is. And he cannot rightly relate with his earthly dad because he doesn't understand his earthly dad's relationship now with a heavenly father. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And when I was studying it this morning, I was like, God, that's so profound, and I can't believe I've never caught that before. It's like huge. And it's what he's doing is he's telling them the warnings, the cause. Mm-hmm. He's telling them the actions they're going to have to take in order to make it happen. And so the next action he gives them is, let me put my glasses on because I can't see. read verse 26. Somebody, would you read verse 26 for us all the way through to 31? Who's got that and would be willing to read it? It's so beautiful.
I have it.
Okay, go ahead, Sandy.
This is the NLT. Brought my NLT today.
Okay.
I love my NLT.
Okay.
But don't be afraid of those who will threaten you, for the time is coming when everything will be revealed. All that is secret will be made public. What I tell you now in the darkness, shout abroad from daybreak when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ears, shout from the housetops for all to hear.
How far did you say?
All the way through 31.
Sorry. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. They can only kill your body. Mm. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Not even a sparrow, worth only half a penny, can fall to the ground without your father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to him than a whole flock of sparrows. If anyone acknowledges me publicly here on earth, I will openly acknowledge that person before my Father in heaven.
Go ahead and do verse 33 since you did 32. Go ahead.
But if anyone denies me here on earth, I will deny that person before my Father in heaven.
Perfect. Okay, let's stop. The very first action he gives them in verse 26, what does he tell them not to do?
Don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid when?
People who threaten you.
Mm-hmm. Threaten or attack. Okay, and then he goes immediately into that which will be hidden is brought out, and that which is covered will be revealed, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. As we are interacting and we're thinking about our life circumstances, I can't tell you how many times I've had to say this out loud. Whatever we're dealing with, if we hide truth, we can't deal with it. Truth. If the truth is not spoken into it, if a person is not willing to reveal the circumstances, if anything is hidden, covered, or concealed, God knows because he's all-knowing, but we ourselves will not know the healing, the covering, the revelation of truth if we keep anything hidden. Darkness cannot remain in us as a believer. And I think that's the part of the covering here that he's bringing out. And he's talking about, go ahead, Tanya, you were going to say something?
Just making me think of a little quote that I heard this week. Somebody said we can fight in our flesh or we can overcome in our spirit.
Which is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The truth.
Say that again.
We can, well, when we're threatened, when we're attacked, we have to keep in mind it's all spiritual. This is not against flesh and blood, right? We are battling strongholds probably that other people have or we have, and God wants to tear them down. He knows exactly what we need or they need. And trusting that, we can either choose to fight in our flesh or overcome in our spirit.
That's so good. Ken Sandy calls it the difference between being a peacekeeper and a peacemaker. A peacekeeper is somebody who says, I'll remain silent because I don't want to cause that problem. I don't want to stir up trouble. Whereas a peacemaker is somebody who will come into a circumstance and say, you know, what I have to say is going to be hard for you to hear, but you need to hear this in order for you to get through healing.
That sometimes happened. I think, too, I know, I think that happens to a lot of us as believers because, well, I know I came to know the Lord late in life, and so I had mouth prior to, so I had to learn to keep my mouth quiet at first. That was the first challenge, you know, and then to learn the next that, oh, no, that's not what God wants you. But after that season of growing in self-control, growing in that rising of the flesh, and then now desiring to, what is it? A peacemaker.
Peacemaker.
Right, and he gives you the words and the wisdom and the heart to be the peacemaker.
To help somebody flesh out the mm-hmm. flesh.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Does that make flesh. Sense?
Yes.
And so that's where the truth is critical. And he's bringing them the truth. Do not fear. Attack will come. Mm-hmm. What's covered will be revealed. What is hidden will be made known. You do not have to be afraid when the enemy comes at you. Mm-hmm. You do not have to be afraid. And so that doesn't matter if it's in our dreams or if it's in a verbal attack from people, mm-hmm. If it's somebody coming after us. If we truly are seeking the Lord and seeking him in righteousness, we do not have to be afraid, because he will reveal that which is hidden. Mm-hmm. Whatever the darkness is trying to keep hidden, he will bring it to light. So we can trust the revelation of what he's going to bring. But at the same time, we have a responsibility, because if he gives it to us, whispers it, we have to speak it. Mm-hmm. If he gives it to us in the dark, then we have to bring it into the light. Mm. And so that is what helps others flesh out the flesh, so that the spirit can be made alive in them. The truth is what sets us free. And I mean, I'm just like, this is so profound to right. so much that I am working through, that it just blew my mind away. I'm like, Jesus, it's amazing, because it's so, you know, I read it and I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, lighten, okay, yeah, and, you know, simple talking, I can do that. And master, yeah. servant, household, I get it. But then as I am experiencing the growth of a spiritual leader, mm-hmm. even though I will confess and tell you in most circumstances, I'm sitting there thinking, God, I'm a kindergartner. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Why are you asking this kindergartner in her faith to try to handle something that seems like it's so on the, you know, level that's so beyond me? And he just mm-hmm. smiles and says, yeah, that's right, here I am, because I will take
care
of
it.
That's yeah. right. I'll take care of it, yep. you know.
Well, yeah. it's kind of like Tanya was saying, it's the issue I have is doing it in love.
Yeah.
And then listening to the Spirit saying, okay, you know, because sometimes he brings us, like I said, he brings a sword. And the difference of when to do that versus, you know, doing it in love. And it's like, I'm just like, I'm not still enough to listen to when I should do which. And that's, you know, that seems to be an issue I have. It's like,
I would say that we should never touch the sword if we are not in love.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's good.
And that the sword is always lifted in love, because the sword is the word and truth.
See, that's very true.
And that's the reason why he is able to say, I am the Prince mm-hmm. of Peace. And I do not come to give peace, I come to bring a sword. Mm. Because he is willing to lift that sword and cut out that which keeps us from being mm-hmm. with him.
Okay? Well, I think you've brought it up before. It's not for us to determine whether they receive, if they're doing it in love or not. You know, you can say it in love, but they have to receive it the way you're intending it. If they don't, then they don't.
That's good. I want Janelle, because I saw her finger on her nose. I'm thinking she's got something deep.
Go, Janelle.
All right, Janelle.
I was just thinking, it's really interesting that he says not to be afraid of the one who can kill, you know, body and soul, or but body on earth or whatever, but to be afraid of the one who can kill body and soul. But then as soon as he says be afraid of the one who can kill body and soul, obviously speaking about God, he says that you're worth so much more than sparrows. That God loves you so much and cares for you. And don't be afraid because you're worth so much more than sparrows. Fear God, because he has the power to do anything to you. Mm-hmm. But he loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of what anyone else could possibly ever do to you, because God is caring for you.
Mm-hmm. And how much does he love us? He knows how many hairs are on our head.
That blows my mind. That's awesome.
I lose a lot of hair every morning when I take a shower. Then he knows them. And I love what Janelle has said, because it reminded me, I was recently sitting at a coffee shop or something with a student, and some sparrows were down at our feet. And they were just pecking at crumbs that have fallen off of whatever, you know, on the tables. And I was looking down, and the thought went through my head, it's like, he loves me more than a sparrow, but he knows when that sparrow is going to die. He knows the lifespan of that sparrow.
Mm-hmm.
And understanding that love is critical. And so that goes back to what Beth was talking about. Do you see how Janelle pointed out the love? And that love comes before the very next section, which mm-hmm. then he says, I did not come to give peace. Mm-hmm. It's like he's giving them the promise of the love, mm-hmm. and then he gives them back another warning mm-hmm. and getting them ready, because then there's more action they're going to have to take because mm-hmm. of what's coming. Mm. And just incredible. So as I was thinking about this passage, I wrote out a question for us to look at. So what does he teach us about when he's saying that we need not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul? I wrote down, because this is something I've had to deal with recently, and I just wanted to hear you guys flesh it out. How do we keep this from being a cliche or offensive, knowing that other Christians are being killed elsewhere? Okay. Do not fear the one who kills the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both body and soul. This is very profound, very important in our lives, but it would be very easy, in my own confession, to make it a cliche. Oh, you don't need to be afraid. Just you need to be, and so what I did, I just wanted to go and look, and you guys, I know nobody outside our studio can see this, but I have created a list. I went mm-hmm. on the internet this morning, and I was looking to see about different forms of persecution that's going on in the nations. And so I looked in the Far East, the Islamic nations and Asian nations. Hmm. And I'm just gonna quickly read a few. 9-9, a pastor arrested for sharing the gospel in Indonesia. Hmm. In the Philippines, a pastor was taken hostage on 9-9-9-8, Malaysia church. Chose to forgive the Muslim oppressors that destroyed their church. 9-5, Chinese house church was arrested for having a Sunday school class. In Islam, 9-10, three young Christians were killed in the village for their faith. On 9-10, in an Islamic nation, a mother was killed mm-hmm. and the child was abducted because of their Christian faith. On 9-10, there were clashes between groups because of the Syria capital and historic Christian town. There are so many factors happening in Asia. 9-10, Christian faith under attack because they are a prison state. Christian women killed. 9-10, government plans to demoralize and destroy 25 churches and Christian schools. Christian persecution is going all over. Mm-hmm. So how do we guard against using that as a cliche? We're going to use that as an opening when we come back next time, because even though we're not being persecuted to that level, brothers and sisters in Christ are, and we're having more and more people come in and out, and so we need to know how do we handle that so that we're not using it as a cliche, but we really are holding on to it as a truth that we know is it's a solid promise. Right. Mm-hmm. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We'd love to hear from you. You can catch us at cultivatinghearts.org, at opendoormission.org, or at tararye.com. God bless.